This week's episode has no paid subscribers, so you could be the one. Just go to thedadpodcast.com, click on the PayPal buttons on the right-hand side, or the Patreon logo just before that. For just $24 a year, you could change our lives. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 116. We are here with Rachel Gibbs, our sex and family therapist, together at last, Miss Rachel.
Finally. How are you?
I'm great. And with us, as always, is the one, the only Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Hello, Rachel. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Paco.
Oh, right out the gate. I couldn't get through the word hello.
We're for anybody who's been listening to us live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. It was going live and I was playing music and then I cut it off and then you heard touch tones. I apologize for everybody who's listening to us live, but I meant to come out here and be out here about 20 minutes early so that I would have a moment to be able to set all this up and do tests. But then my wife, of course, she says I have to work late. And so I'm like, no problem. Thinking I'm going to eat my dinner with the boys. As soon as she walks in the door, I'm going to give her a kiss, make a beeline to the door. The poor thing walks in the door and says, I'm sorry, and then just buckles and just starts bawling. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, are you okay? Like, so then I had to, you know, stay there and console her. But it's just, I mean, everybody's listening. You know, life happens. Shit happens.
Sure,
and
sure.
She works with some dickhead who double booked his appointments. And then she thought she was just going to take up like some paperwork for the person. Turns out she's doing the whole process of helping them get approved for an auto loan.
Oh, wow.
That this guy is also, he double booked. So he wrapped up with the other customer. Now he's checking his voicemails because he's off tomorrow. She's doing all the work. And then somebody says, by the way, he's also going to get credit for that, just so you know. And she goes, oh, fuck you very much.
No. Wow.
So, and then on top of that, she's carrying all this guilt that she's such a better parent than I am. If I could make a living, just go to dadpodcast.com, do the Patreon, do the PayPal, something so I can make enough money so that this woman could care for these children instead of me, because she harbors so much guilt about having to commute to get home. And she's like, if I was working in Burbank, I would just be here already. And
how far does she commute?
It's only like a 20-minute commute without traffic. But if she gets stuck, it turns into like 30 minutes, 40 tops. If it's like,
yeah, you're in L.A. That's like 3 hours.
Exactly. So she usually will text me. She had somebody text her saying that they were going to be on their way home. And then she felt bad because I made stuffed chicken breasts for dinner.
Oh, wow.
And
schmancy.
Yeah, I'm really schmancy. I get on the allrecipes.com and bang around a little bit, throw my weight around, literally, sometimes. Made a little feta cheese, sour cream, onions, green onions, and some spinach. Mix it all together.
Not to be a one-upper.
Do it.
I made chicken strips.
What?
It's Hello. Tuesday.
Yeah. Happy Tuesday,
yeah,
everybody.
Luna's not home. I can make the chicken strips.
Now, you don't know this, Rachel, because I don't think you listen to the show regularly, but Paco here has
to
make...
Well, why are you assuming that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, do you know how many...
I'm on the show, but I never listen.
Well,
I just come on there every once in a while.
Listen, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. You're a young, attractive lady in a professional market where you just constantly, people just vitriolically vomit their problems on you. And I know you appreciate it, and you're also a much better person than me, like the rest of the world. But at the same time, I can't imagine you tuning in to then listen to me do the same thing. You know what I mean?
Well, you'd be surprised, but we'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
Anyway, continue.
All right, Rich. I was going to say is he makes a different dinner for each of his family members, but you probably already are aware of that.
That's fantastic. I made meatloaf. Does that
yeah.
count?
Yeah. Yeah, well done. Well,
that's terrific. No, what happens is that let's take hamburger for example.
Okay.
Not everybody in the house will eat a hamburger,
okay,
but somebody will eat a taco. So, you know, so I'll
hold on.
I'll
say what Chad's version of a taco is.
Oh, Chad's version of a taco is a Tostitos scoop with some ground beef dropped into the center of it and a little bit of cheese on top.
No seasoning.
That sounds delicious.
No seasoning. No seasoning
no
at
seasoning.
All.
No seasoning. I just love that he's like J-Lo's green room writer. You know what I mean? For his tacos. That's all I hear about. It's not, nothing but green M&Ms.
Right. Well, that's what every dinner is like. But on Tuesdays, the lovely Luna has been at a running class, and so she's removed from the equation, and therefore I can make one meal for three people instead of four meals for four people.
Aww. Well, right. Happy Tuesday, then.
Yes, thank you very much.
Happy Tuesday to you, Rachel. How did your meatloaf come out? Did it all work out okay?
Oh, it's delicious. My significant other is a phenomenal cook, and so I rarely get to even step foot in the kitchen. So when I do, it has to be extremely impressive, and I think it passed the test.
Excellent.
Nice. Nailed it. All right. Well, here's the thing. I'll bring the listeners that are live up to snuff and you as well, is that I have a fancy technological thing. So if people want to call into the show at 877-222-8323, but you would like to protect your anonymity from here on, henceforth, when I go to the phones, you will sound like this
when you talk, unless you ask me to turn it off,
and then I could turn it off and we can hear your regular speaking voice. So I apologize, Rachel. You'll be speaking to a lot of demonic moms and dads. But,
I'm very excited about
it's gonna
this,
be great.
Actually.
To me, it's that, what's that show, Gangland or whatever, isn't it, where they would always have somebody named Sleepy in a back.
Gangland?
Yeah, you never saw Gangland?
I did not.
No?
Gangland?
How did
That's
I
a show?
How did I become the one? I'm pretty sure it's Gangland. I'm going to Google it while I talk about it. But the idea being that to protect Sleepy's anonymity, they would do that to his voice.
This
and
does
so
not sound real.
It is a real show. I believe it was on the History Channel.
Oh, it's not.
Hold on. So I get little blurbs, Miss Rachel, when you comment in the chat. Rachel is chatting and she said Gangland is not a show. She's talking smack on the show while being on it.
How I got to get you. In there.
How dare you?
Oh, my God. I got to get in there.
Rachel might have found a way for other people to talk on this program.
Right.
She might have figured out the loophole. Like, you know, when my dad fell asleep in the couch, my mom wouldn't go over and wake him up. She would just call on the phone to the house because he would just wake up. Whereas
That's
if
funny.
She, like, tried to nudge him, he would jerk and flail about. But if she just rang the telephone, he would just roll over and and pick up. So give us a call if you're listening live, 877-222-8323. If you have a fantastic question for Rachel Gibbs, I have to make this clear. It's been a while since we've had her on the show, but I did remind myself of this disclaimer. Remember, the show is for entertainment purposes only. And if you would like...
no wagering.
No wagering. but if you... so take the advice given with a grain of salt and at your own leisure, I guess is the word
I
want
to say. At your
own risk. At your own risk, sure. But listen, I know that Rachel... you're at Love Intern or The Love Intern on Twitter.
No, I got to switch it. I actually have my own practice now. So it's
what?
Therapist Rachel.
Therapist Rachel Twitter, what?
So I know.
So do we still have to give this disclaimer?
We do have to give the disclaimer just because it's not technically therapy and because I don't have these lovely folks signing anything before I talk to them.
Right.
So legally speaking,
it is for entertainment purposes. So there we'll say that. But we'll go to our first email question because we have a lot and I'm always afraid of eating up too much time with you unless there's anything else you wanted to chat beforehand.
No, we could chat for hours, so
let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
Well, we'll kick things off with a bang with what could only be described as a novella that was sent to us by a gentleman with a common problem. I'm going to try and I might do the occasional skip, 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 just to give everyone the gist of it.
That was a novel, not a novella, by the way.
There was nothing brief about it?
No. It was great. I mean, thank you for the information.
Right.
I'm not dissing that at all, but it was definitely the longest email I've ever gotten.
In his defense, he sent this back in July. And
fair.
It was at a time when we could not take live phone calls, and he could call in and be able to ask the same question.
That's true.
And so
my apologies.
No, it's no apology needed. Trust me. He was like, I'm sorry this is so long, but I think what it was is that we were getting short questions, and Rachel's response was like, well, I wish I knew more information.
Gotcha.
And so this gentleman said,
her fault.
Here's your information, my friend.
It's always my fault.
He said, let me start by saying congratulations, Paco, on becoming the co-host. That's how long ago
that
was.
How long ago it is.
He says,
congratulations, Paco.
Thank you. I'll take it anytime I can get it.
Let's get to the meat of the matter. Forgive my previous ramblings and those that are yet to come, because I will more than likely get off on tangents. He's 30 years old, from Virginia, married 7 years, 2 kids, an 8-year-old and 11-month-old, respectively. And let's see. He says, what to get? My wife and I met in 2005 as we started a job at the same time. When we met, we couldn't stand each other. I thought she was an obnoxious bitch, and she thought I was an outrageous dick, which I was and still am. Then he says a lot of Spanish things to you, Paco. I don't know how versed in Spanish you actually are for the cracker you are.
Bubkiss, probably.
Okay. Yeah. He says, verga, Paco, a grande verga. I don't know what that means.
Probably some sort of big hello, verga. I don't know what verga is.
Verga, well, I know verda in Portuguese is shit, I believe.
Oh, is it? Thank you. Okay, big shit, Paco. Right back at you.
So let's see. He says, let me stop for a sec. I did cheat and am still ashamed to this day. I'm jumping unfairly that I was unfaithful. Afterward, I immediately came clean to my girlfriend and broke it off. Anyway, what's her bucket? Who we'll call Jane. We'll call him John and Jane, just in case he says later in the novel in chapter 12 that he says, by the way, please don't use my real name. And I went to dinner one evening after work, then hit a back road and had sex in the car. Now, this wasn't just sex. This was a spiritual movement. I mean, the heavens opened and the universe sang. I think we made the earth spin. I like his use of prose here. Like,
I think he should write like 50 Shades of Grey, the sequel.
Right, right. There was a connection on another level. We changed the very definition of sex that night. And from that night on, we were lost over each other. Look at that. That's beautiful. It's worth reading.
Yeah.
We moved in together a few months later. We never really took the time to get to know each other on an intimate level. Wait, hold on a second. You just had sex in the back of a car that changed the way the earth spun. You realigned the magnetic fields with your sexual energy. I think that's you knew each other. We did everything backwards. We fought like cats and dogs. The first year of our relationship was absolute misery. Looking back on it, neither of us know why we stayed and put up with one another. But we were madly in love, and we would fight daily, horrendously fight. Then we'd make up and have incredible, mind-blowing sex. Our sex life was phenomenal. It wasn't just typical physical, emotional, intimate lovemaking. When I say we connected that first night, I fear that I'm not going to get my point across. I want to make sure I give this justice. When we would have sex, we became one person. It was like we shared a body that was something more, something neither of us ever felt before. We could read each other's thoughts and feel one another's emotion. Our souls would mesh. We were supernatural, and is still the same way to this day. Now I know all this sounds pretty fucking stupid, but I cannot be more serious. So this is where I'll jump around a little bit. And is that so after a while, they got married and after about a year of fighting stopped, we had been living together long enough that we learned about each other. Around that time, she got pregnant for the first time. She ended up having a miscarriage. We were devastated. Let me stop by being so detailed and skip to the important things. We have been through a lot together, things that would normally tear other couples apart. Before we had one of their daughters, she had 5 miscarriages, totaling 6 children.
It's horrible.
Once with twins.
Oh, wow.
We were told that she was unable to have kids, and the more we tried, the more damage it was doing to her body. We wanted a family more than anything. One time we moved because I had gotten a really good job. We found a nice place, bought a new car, etc. Shortly after I got laid off, and we were homeless for about 8 months. On top of that, the day we were moving out, I was served with child support order from an ex. We went to court and found that I had a 4-year-old daughter that I didn't know existed that was born just a few weeks before me and her met. That almost did us in, but it didn't. Through all our ups and downs, good times and bad, one thing stayed constant was our biblical sex life. It was never let up all this time. Fast forward to last year. We're living in my hometown, got a beautiful home, etc. We are very happy and life is good. Then we find out we're pregnant. We were scared shitless of another miscarriage, so she didn't even go to the doc until the second trimester. She had never made it out of the first trimester before, and we had so many miscarriages before that we knew what to do, and I could take better care of her than they could at the hospital. Well, turns out this one stuck. I planted the little shit up there good. Bueno, Paco, muy bueno. The day we found out was the day I found the podcast. It literally kept me sane during the pregnancy. The stress and fear of losing another baby and her batshit crazy hormones and moods as we went along. I really cannot thank you enough, Justin, for doing what you do. So now let me tell you the point of this autobiography and my problem. Fast forward to now, we're all happy and healthy, loving watching our baby grow up. Our lives have changed so much for the better, every aspect of it. We're finally a family. We have all we need and want, and again, the sex is still unbelievable when we have it. Our entire marriage, we haven't been able to keep our hands off each other for very long. We would have sex anywhere, car while driving, restaurants, work when we work together, friends and family's homes. We sneak off for a quickie whenever the chance was given, anywhere and everywhere at any time. Even after Emma was, after the daughter was born, up until 3 to 4 months ago, my wife has always been just as much a horn dog as I have been, if not worse. She has sex on the brain more than any other man I know, or at I guess I should say. These last few months has really been slowed from every day down to 2, maybe 3 times a month if I am lucky. I don't know what the problem is. She stays home with the baby, and I know that is a full-time job and a hard one. She's worn out more often than not, but now every time I try and initiate something, she comes up with a reason not to or blows me off. And by blow me off, I mean dismiss me. Not as blow me off.
Not a consolation prize.
I appreciate you including all these jokes, sir. If that be the case.
I'm telling you, he's a great writer.
I wouldn't be typing this long-ass convoluted email. I really don't understand what's going on with her. She's not depressed or angry with me or anything like that. We have a very open relationship. We keep open lines of communication and always talk to each other about everything. We are sickeningly close. From the time we first moved in together in 2006, we have only spent 3 nights away. Somebody just posted we're waiting for Paco to finish making everyone's dinner. I don't know if that's a late thing or if they're commenting on the length of this email. The woman is my queen. I had a pretty bad drug problem when we first met and got together. I've been clean since 2007. Congrats on that, sir.
Yeah, congratulations.
She saved my life and has stood by me no matter what and stood tall and strong. I have put her through hell and she was never left my side, no matter what the cause. She's independent and quick-tempered and hard to handle sometimes, but that is why I love her. She has a resolve like no one I have ever met. Where I end, she begins, and I love and have so much passion and respect for this woman. She is truly beautiful inside and out. She is an incredible wife and an even more wonderful mother. She has seen me at my worst and keeps me at my best. She is my hero. I know I have beat it to death here, but we're connected on a spiritual level. Yeah, we know. You make the earth spin. Blah, blah, blah. I'm the luckiest man alive because I was fortunate enough to find one person on this planet that I was put here to love and protect and take care of. The sense of rejection that I feel is hard to deal with. I know she loves me, and I have no questions about that. She had a problem with how she's looked after the baby, but that has since gotten smaller than she was before she got pregnant. So I know that's not it. I think you're wrong, my friend. When we do have sex, it's still amazing. Since she had the daughter, it's been better. Now that she is a mother, she is even more beautiful than she ever has been. Once we start fooling around, she always says, "Why do we not do this every day anymore?" I know she's into it because once it starts, she is insatiable. It's just getting her that far that's a problem now. Anytime I start to initiate, she usually stops it before it starts. I've been reading online about all the usual reasons for why she may have stopped wanting to have sex. We spend every moment together. We have quality time just as much as each other as their daughter. Either my parents or hers has her daughter about every weekend, so we have the time. When I come home, I usually cook or do the dishes or other chores because she spends her days with the daughter. I want to and enjoy taking her load off. So I'm pretty sure none of those reasons are it. I mean, they could be, I guess, and I'm just an idiot. I tell her every day that what she means to me and how beautiful I think she is and make sure we flirt and keep the fun romantic side of things fresh. I attempt to make sure that all her emotional needs are met. But damn it, I want to meet her physical ones too. I'm just not sure what has changed. I want to get back to how we were because I know we were what we were capable of. We need to get back to Pound Town before I break out the moon and go at her in her sleep.
Destination Pound Town.
Yeah, that's a reference from the other podcast, Justice Married. Booker's single that Booker referenced. I apologize for the length and ramblings of the email. I would just really like her to hear. I would really like to hear what your opinions are, or maybe next time Rachel is on the show to hear what she has to say. I need help, guys. And I think that pretty much covers it. So I think before we get the expert, I think this is a pretty common thing, right, Rachel?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's funny because when he said that he was searching for things online, I just imagine, like, you know, when you have like an earache and you go online and it's like, you might have ear cancer. Yeah. You know, it's like all the common reasons that come up for a lack of desire in sex are 99% of the time nothing to do with what's going on.
Ear cancer is never one of them.
No, that usually isn't the problem.
Yeah.
You know what might help him in this situation? If he could sprinkle on her Cheerios in the morning some of that rhino horn that they sell at the AM/PM, you know, right, what I mean, at the gas station. That would be my suggestion.
Now, he wrote this in 2009?
July. 2009,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, July. So he's had sex eight times since then.
Since we read this, since right. I first read this email. Right. He and I have been going back and forth, and I told him it might be a while before we can get to Rachel. I weighed in and told him what my thoughts were. Uh-huh.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, I try. I mean, listen, I'm no Rachel Gibbs, but I told
– here's stop it.
Well, here's You're what great. I find interesting and why I wanted to read the whole thing is that, you know, here's a guy who from his – we're always getting just his perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And from his angle, he's like, I'm there. I'm connected. I'm attending to not only her housewife duties, but I'm also, you know, conversing. I'm not just saying, when can we bang this out? You know,
right, right.
I tell her that she's beautiful and that how attractive I find her, because he wants to make sure that he knows that women get insecure after they have the baby. He's doing all this stuff and yet still confused, still not sure what's going on. And one of the things that I read in here was that he says we have an open line of communication. And what I find interesting, not as a judgment, not as a criticism, mm-hmm. but you have an open line of communication, but you don't know what's going on in her head.
So, well, that's a huge common thing between couples. So you can have a very open line of communication without communicating what you want or need. So you can talk all day about, hey, I picked up the grocery store. Hey, I don't feel well today. You know, hey, the kids need this. It's a great line of communication, but nobody's saying, you know, hey, I feel rejected. So right. they might be talking about everything under the sun, but she might not know what he's feeling.
And they may even be talking less about grocery items and things like that, household machinations, but even feelings, but just not those feelings.
Exactly, exactly. The first thing that I thought of when I heard this email read this email, that it sounds like their whole relationship was very jolty. It was crazy. I mean, they had this mind-blowing sex, then they moved in together, then they fought for the first year, which is kind of abnormal. Like he said, you know, usually the first year is kind of this honeymoon phase for people.
Right.
And then after 1 year, this miscarriage happens. And then after that, they're homeless. And then, you know, all these things are so rocky. The sex was the only constant thing that they had together, the only thing that could bring them together and give them the sense of peace. And now all of a sudden, it's like all this other stuff is calming down. And the sex has calmed down too. And so to me, it sounds like maybe she has taken on more of this mom role in this very kind of easier life than what they've been dealing with. And so instead of being this hot, sexy wife, she could feel like she's just this mom. And without, you know, him expressing that he's feeling rejected to her, which obviously I don't know if he is. It kind of sounds like she doesn't have a lot of space. You know, the whole I end where you begin thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That like gives me knots in my stomach. That's a huge red flag to me. So there's
elaborate on that
there.
Because I am not familiar with what you're describing there. I end where you begin. Like you're saying that. What do you mean that's a red flag? Sorry.
So he said something in the email like she ends where I begin or what were the exact words? She begins where I end. It's kind of like the Jerry Maguire, like you complete me.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, it's like two halves don't make a whole.
Ah, I see. So what you're saying is that there to me that says codependence and that might be not cool. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think that she might feel a little bit. Not a lot of space.
Yeah. Plus, once you have the kid, I mean, it's all over pretty much.
Yeah. And everyone needs something from you. I mean, the kids need this and then, oh, my husband needs this. And I guess my advice to him would be to actually one of the listeners on here was mentioning the love languages and I gave him a shout out. I was like, oh, you listen. but I would definitely say look at the love languages. And then also using I statements to express feelings of rejection. Do you guys know what those are?
No,
I do not.
Really?
No.
Sorry. Oh, this is so exciting. So there's a difference between Justin, you make me feel like shit.
Ah.
Or Justin, I feel like shit when you call me a bitch.
Ah, I see. So the second one is less aggressive or like less of an attack, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And okay. You're also taking responsibility for how you feel. You know, nothing can make you feel anything, but you feel a certain way that you do.
Well, and I think also I want to get your take on this. I had a very funny conversation on my end of it with a friend of mine who's on vacation this week, and his wife is a stay-at-home mom, and he works full-time, and he was like, he said, hey, I want to hang out. And I said, dude, I'm slammed all week. I got all this stuff going on. I go, but if we could still hang out if you don't mind coming with me doing my thing.
Right.
So he went with me to return pants and then to go to Lowe's to look for some hardware to fix the lock at the preschool. And then we went to the grocery store. And I said, I'm really sorry if this is boring. I hope you're having fun. He's like, no, it's like getting a window.
Like a ride-along.
Yeah, he goes, so it is. It's a ride-along for the caregiver at home for the children, you know? And he says, you know, he goes, it's actually kind of funny. He said that because I talked to his wife and he said that I told her, I said, what's it like? He goes, I wanted to make sure it was clear. Like, what's your life like when you don't have a job? You know, because he goes, I know that's going to set something off. But he says, when you don't have a clock to answer to, like you don't have a thing. And it was just interesting to me because I'm not even his wife. And yet when he said that, I don't even live her lifestyle. Like, I still kind of work, but I was borderline offended. Like, I was like, so you think it's just, it is so funny. Like, he has never seen an 80s movie about parenting where, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it's just willy-nilly. That's what it is.
Right.
I sit around in my sweatpants all day and eat ice cream and watch stories.
Well, even my my kids said all you have to do all day is play video games.
Like, that's what they... What they think and what is interesting to me is that now here's the thing from their angle when they come home from school, I have about a half hour window where I will play video games for a half hour to 45 minutes.
Sure.
I do.
Which is great, by the way. That's called self-care. And that's freaking fantastic.
And I don't. And here's the thing that sucks about it is that I still feel guilty about it, which is total bullshit.
Right.
It's like I still feel bad for doing something for myself. Like I'm not completely parenting my kid. But to get back to the email at hand, my point is that I just think it's interesting that no matter how much you try, because my guy. My friend is the one who introduced the love language book to me. He gave me the book. I dismissed it until Rachel brought it up. but he is emotionally aware. I would define him as an emotionally aware. He's very invested in making sure his wife is cared for and you know, like he's saying, I don't want to say she doesn't have a job yet. The thing that I think is so interesting about that is virtually impossible for you to get the perspective of the other lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that so even though this guy is saying I'm doing all of these things, to use the love language example, what if he's not speaking it in the language that she understands?
Right.
Exactly.
These aren't the things that she needs to hear. And I love that we also as guys think, because I went through this with my wife, is that we think in our mind that if we pepper in some compliments about how hot our wife is every now and then, that even if we maybe did it 2-3 times a week or every fucking day, that that's all of a sudden going to wash away the insecurity they have from their boob sagging and stretch marks. And
I can tell you from personal experience with Luna that the more I compliment her, the more she thinks I'm an idiot, because clearly she can see it, look in the mirror, and she knows from her point of view how everything is falling apart. And to have me go, no, you look great. It just goes, yeah, now you've just devalued your own opinion.
And here's the thing. I'm also not going to say that it – I know that you're joking too, but that it doesn't help. Like one of the previous conversations I had with Rachel where she kind of helped to guide me in ways that I can be more honest and more transparent with what I'm thinking and feeling in regards to my attraction to my wife is that now a fun little thing that I do is that I always make her coffee in the morning, and I go and I bring it in the little insulated cup that she takes to work, and I purposely bring it in when she's in the shower so that I can look around the shower curtain and give her a little wink and doing all right. Or sometimes I will go in there, and normally I used to when I before I had this conversation with I would make sure to look at her in the eyes and focus for the purposes of being gentlemanly. But now what I have actually learned is that if I let down that thing that we learned as 16-year-old boys to try to make sure, please don't look at her boobs, please don't, look at her eyes, look at her eyes. And I do that with my wife, and it sometimes if it organically makes me flummox to where I can't remember why I came into the room, that's a big pat on her back. You know what I mean?
So I also want to say something, too, about the words thing is that I have a lot of clients that are married with kids, and obviously because I mostly see couples. So I guarantee that 95% of the women that I see that are married with children would rather be thanked for something that they did that day or told that they are appreciated than being told that they're hot.
Oh, well, I do that too. I mean, I try to reinforce – you know, like over the weekend, she and Diego were helping me with Montecore and the other dogs, and I was just – I was so grateful, and I made it clear that that was the case. It didn't get me any, if that's what we're, if that's what we're trying to do here. I may have lost track of the mission.
Okay, so was the goal to have sex right then?
Oh no! The goal was to make sure she understood how much I appreciated it.
Right.
I'd like to see more of that in the future.
I think part
of exactly.
I think part of what Adam's getting at here too is kind of the idea too is that I think it would be virtually impossible for you to go through all this extra effort with the idea of it being. So, by the way, if you could spread your legs a little bit, you know what I mean. Like, no matter how subtle we think we're dudes, I think on some level. And what that becomes, what I've learned, not only as being, because it's really, it's even weirder when you're the guy in this situation, that when you spend your day taking care of so many other people, that there's also an element to it to where I could easily wrap my mind around it, that it's like, oh, so you're secretly playing a mind game to try and manipulate me into something that you need as well.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And that's where it comes down to. I ask couples flat out, I'll have them both sitting in front of me, what do you want to have more sex?
Oh.
What do you want to have more sex? And usually the other person is shocked at the other person's response.
That they're both saying the same thing.
They're either both saying the same thing or the other person had like no clue that that's what they needed.
Wow.
And all it took was, what do you want to have sex? Like, it's like the easiest question. Like, I did not need a master's degree
to
learn how to ask that.
Just so I can understand for my stupid brain, you say, what do you want? And then the response is to have sex.
No. Oh. So I say, what do you want to have? Like, what do you need from your partner to have more sex? What do you want from him?
Oh. And they usually will. So, like, can you give us some examples? Like, I'm curious about
so
that.
Like, let's say the woman says, you know what? If you did, and you're going to laugh, but if you did the dishes every night, I would have time to go take a quick shower so that when we went to bed, I would feel clean. And it's important for me to feel clean before we have sex.
Yeah. I'm not going to laugh because it's funny because when my wife, when she gets a little amorous, when she comes home from work and I'm like, she goes, how you doing? Like, she gives me a little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
And I jokingly say, I will see you at 9:30 because I know that she turns into a pumpkin.
Right.
And but here's how I know if at 9:15 she gets up and she's like, I'm going to go take a shower real quick. I'm like, oh,
it's on.
It is on like Donkey Kong.
See? Yeah.
It is locked and loaded. That's interesting. I like that. Well, is there anything else? I kind of want to wrap up so we're not spending the entire show on this one email, but I think it's just because it is, in my opinion, the meat and potatoes issue of especially new parents. Like, I feel like
new parents, but also I just think people who've been together for a long time, whether whether they're married or not, I imagine.
And honestly, it's even people who haven't been together a long time. I mean, once that honeymoon period wears off, which apparently this guy didn't have, so that's interesting.
Or that was the honeymoon.
Yeah, was that
car got worse?
It was just that 45 minutes or whatever in the car, and then boom.
Yeah, that was the best 45 minutes that he's ever going to have. I mean, it's an issue for everybody. I'm working on an article right now for a website. It's 13 things that you see in porn that nobody actually wants to do.
Oh.
And right, I know. So people have different expectations and different things that they want, and people get in the mood differently. And some people want to be touched, and some people need a routine, and some people hate a routine. And it's just all about asking the right questions and being honest.
Right.
And my biggest advice for this guy, we'll call him John Doe, would be to express his feelings of rejection with an I statement. So I feel hurt. I feel sad. I feel rejected when you brush me off. Mm. You know, what I'd like for you to do is to tell me what I can do to make you or help you want to have more sex. Mm-hmm. I miss being intimate. Please tell me what I can do.
And I think a good place to do that, I heard this, and it's funny because my wife and I accidentally stumbled upon the same thing, but Corolla was talking about it, about how much you get done on a walk when you're removed from the television and the house and the phone. And my wife and I will have lunch, and here's what's interesting is that when you go out to have like a lunch or a dinner, you're still in a very public setting, and there is something very different about having a walk, even though you're out in the open and in the fresh air. But it's not. There is still more intimacy in a walk in a neighborhood, no matter what time of day or anything
Absolutely.
Like that.
And at the end of the day, this is why people come into my office.
Yeah.
You know, they want to increase the quality of their relationship, whatever that means for them, whether it's, you know, more sex, more talking, more alone time, whatever it is.
Well, we have a caller. So, caller, I know you're listening. Give us one sec because I saw something in the chat that I wanted to get to. And I don't – here's the thing. I contacted Rachel because I wanted somebody to help me and my listeners get into the perspective of the female brain and then have a professional kind of weigh in on common relationship issues and stuff like that. But this one has a question about a kid. So you tell me if this is your area or if you have any opinion on this. You might have already saw this. But she says, I wish I could call in, but if I could ask a question, I'd appreciate it. My five-year-old gets upset easily and starts to really take it hard. I try to explain what's going on, but he seems to just focus on the thing that went wrong or the game he lost or the drawing he can't get right. What are your thoughts on that, Miss Rachel?
My thoughts initially would be that he's not getting enough affirmation in the areas that he is doing well.
Mm. I like that.
That would be my first thought. So if you do 8 out of 10 things super well, then the 2 things that you don't do very well are not that big of a deal. So I would say just be sure to push the positive reinforcement.
And my guy has something very similar where he's – but it's different in what she's talking about is that he is quick to upset. And I've always had this insecurity that maybe I expect too much of him, but I refuse to believe that for maybe a laugh. But so what I do – what I and the reason I do that is because the minute he nails it, I tell him. I'm like, yes. That is absolutely perfect. And what I found too has really helped me in dealing with this similar issue is, and he started asking for it, which I really think means that it means something to him. So my wife does the bedtime routine. She'll go read to him and then I will go and I will go into the room afterwards while she's putting the little guy down.
Yeah.
And I'll just lay down with him. And I say, hey, can I come in and cuddle with you? And we just have a little conversation for maybe 5 minutes where I ask about his day and there's no brother.
And you say to him, what will it take
from
me for us to have more sex?
Have more sex. Not talking about him, but his mother.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, his mother. Well, I ask him about how I can have more sex with his mother.
Okay.
He weighs in. We share kind of a fake beer. You know, he has a root beer. I have a real beer. And it's, you know, it's a little bonding moment.
No, but actually, what's funny is on that note, somebody just wrote in the chat, and I don't know if it was me, but I say this, so I'll take credit for it, or, you know, I didn't, but I say it all the time. But it's all about soothing your child, too, you know, and that comes with the positive reinforcement, that it's okay, that most of the time we're going to make mistakes, and that's a normal part of life. And could you imagine being an adult thinking that we're never going to make a mistake?
Right.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That would be horrible.
You
so the
also,
time that we learn that is when we are kids, and it's really important to tell our kids, you know, that is normal and that, you know, honestly, most of the time you're going to fuck up.
Right.
So
I also think you can model your own behavior for them.
Absolutely.
So when you make a mistake, you know, sort of talk through what that felt like or what it was like and let them see how you move on rather than them not even realizing that a mistake was made.
I love it. All right, let's go to – we got 2 calls now.
Oh,
so
wow. We're stacking
they're going to sound like demons, but let's get them –
they're both anonymous?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think I forgot to turn on the auto screener. So I was very flustered, and I apologize, caller. So if you want, you could give us your real name or a fake name, whatever. We won't even be able to tell your gender by talking.
But you're going to sound like the Terminator.
Yeah, let's hear your demon voice, caller. Oh, wait, hold on. Now, holy crap. Hold on, Tyler, stop talking. Why is this not working? I hate my life. I hate my life so much. Oh, my gosh, I hate my life. Hold on, hold on. Please hold.
You
please
need
hold.
An engineer.
Please, yes, I do so bad. All right, now let's try. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, that's enough work.
Yay!
Hey, hold
well,
on.
We heard the voice. We now need
there,
to get
now
the
we
back.
Now we have it. Now let's try it. Say again.
All right, I'm here.
All right, there we go.
Close enough.
How does that sound? Does that sound horrible, or do we hate
no,
this?
No, I can hear him. Hi, okay. Caller.
Hello, my name is Jonathan. I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Okay, do you want me to turn off this crazy effect then, Jonathan?
Yeah, you can go ahead. And
all right, let's fine. Hear Jonathan. Sorry, Jonathan.
Oh, thank God. Thank you, Jonathan.
No, you're totally fine. So a couple of weeks ago, I was the guy who tweeted in about the kids seeing a dead body.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What?
So I'll update you, Jonathan. He was having an issue where him and his, I guess, wife were having a fight over how old you have to be before you could see a dead body. And so me and Paco kind of chimed in about it on the show. But my assumption, I don't know if you have a different question or is that what you want to ask an expert about, Jonathan?
No, I did have a different question for her. I was just going to let you guys know that you picked my wife's side.
Oh, no! You got to give me a wink or something so I could do hoes before bros, Jonathan. Or bros before hoes, whatever it is. I'm horrible at this.
It was my grandpa was 92 and he passed away. And we were up at the funeral and my son... my oldest son is 3 years old, and that's how old I was when I attended my first funeral. I don't remember it. I didn't think it was a big deal for him, but my wife did, so we fought and she won and he didn't get
Jonathan, was it an open casket?
It was an open casket.
Okay.
Or do you want to weigh in too, Rachel?
Honestly, I would have said that he's 10, you said?
No, he's 3.
Oh, he's 3. I thought you said he was 10.
No.
3. Yeah, 3 is a little young. Sorry, Jonathan. Obviously, not knowing you, it's hard to just.
No, I know. It's just
blanket
funny.
Statement, everything. But generally speaking, I'd say 3 is really young to be at a funeral.
I just think it's funny that Jonathan just kind of said, hey, just so you know, I'm this guy. And yet we keep reopening the same question. I'm sorry, Jonathan.
And piling on it.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask your question, sir.
So my wife and I have been married for coming up on 6 years, and we've got 4 children now.
Wow, congratulations.
And, whoa.
Yeah, thanks. Not planned that way. Not all of them anyways. So, but, you know, we love them to death. So
that's good.
Are you at an arcade? What just happened?
No. My youngest son is awake and playing with a toy. So.
Oh, okay.
No, but my question is, I work full time during the day from 7 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. And then my wife works from about 5 in the afternoon to about 10, 11 o'clock at night.
And when do you make these babies?
Yeah. Well, they've all been made previously.
Oh, okay. All right.
Although that actually is kind of the crux of the question is that for a while now, our intimate time has suffered. And a few times over the last year or so, I've brought up having like a scheduled day or whatever when we can have a date and try and schedule some intimate time together. And she is completely opposed to the idea. And I really can't understand why, and it never really turns into much of a conversation. So I guess my question is what are your thoughts on like having a scheduled day for sex?
I think it's a fantastic idea. Absolutely 100% fantastic. And I'll tell you why.
And when are you available?
On her days off.
My significant other's listening.
Oh, sorry. So is mine.
Hi, Kyle.
I'll stop interrupting with the smart aleck.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you this. In your ideal world, how often would you be having sex?
I don't know. I mean, at least maybe 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay, that's fine. So have you asked her that question?
No, I have not.
So that's what I would ask her first, is in her ideal world, how often would the two of you be having sex?
Okay.
And see what her answer is. So once you have her answer for how often, then you two can join forces and come up with that solution of how you're going to make that happen.
You need to have the equivalent of a vagina Geneva convention is what it sounds like.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it's just like we were talking about earlier, about how sometimes women want to shower, or they need – sometimes women, we need more of like this plan, right? But then if it's totally planned, it takes away that spontaneous intimacy. Mm-hmm. But then you're kind of fucked if you do that too, not literally.
Yeah,
because right. Then she's like, oh, but I need to do this and that and this, and my brain is everywhere. So I think that getting her on board and having her buy in to a certain amount of times that you want to commit to, that will help her have more sex, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's something to talk to her about. So I appreciate it. You guys have been
yeah.
really helpful.
It's yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll let you go, Jonathan. Thank you so much. But
thanks,
it is
Jonathan.
It is interesting because it seems simple, but what I found amusing was when we put that question to Jonathan and he said, he goes, "Okay." Like, because I think he was like afraid of how that would go, but it is. It's like we kind of carry this nervous energy, which is ironic because we're there's so much weird things that you would think wouldn't get in the way of a marriage, you know what I mean, that also aren't very sexy, but like you've seen each other sick and vomiting probably, and then you've got kids sick and vomiting. There's all these horrible things that you've been through, which everybody knows makes you a lot stronger and builds a relationship, as weird as it may sound. And yet something, just the idea of going, how many times do you think we should be having sex in a week, makes it go, oh boy.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, could you imagine, Justin, let's say we are married.
Okay.
And
calm down, Kyle. Calm down. It's a hypothetical.
So we're married, right?
Uh-huh.
And I really want to have a meatless meal five nights out of the week.
I know what you're saying.
And you want to have meat every night.
Uh-huh.
If I just cook, you're going to be very resentful of the fact that you're not getting meat.
Right.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
But if I just said,
and he's
going to
start
sneaking
out and getting that meat.
How often would you like meat for dinner?
Uh-huh.
You could be like, well, how often do you want meat for dinner? And then we can agree on it. But if
right.
it never gets talked about, it's like everyone is not happy and you're not getting what you want.
And quite possibly the best part about your analogy is that I'm putting myself in that situation and going, I think it would be equally as uncomfortable as asking my wife how many times you want to have sex. Like, just the idea of talking about cooking, because if my wife came to me, my wife has done it. She's like, I'm tired of chicken. You know what I mean? No more chicken, all right? I need some beef up in this house or something
right.
different. And so then I go on a beef parade, and then she's like, I just need some vegetables. Can we just get some vegetables? So what I'm saying is I need to take my wife on the sexual sizzler buffet, if you would.
Right, right.
She
yeah,
wants to
exactly.
roam around the different tables.
And-
yeah, exactly. The Pound Town buffet. All right, we have another caller, so let's see. And I'm going to turn this thing on, and then so we can protect them. Caller, what's your name?
My name's Eric.
Eric, do you want us to keep the effect, or do you want to lose it?
He's not listening.
Okay. All right, Eric, let's hear your question for Rachel.
All right, so we got three boys, youngest is 6 months old, and just trying to get back to the normal routine of, you know, in the sack.
Seems to be a common thread.
Yes. Shovel
work. Any tips? I mean, the last call was great. Communication. I took Paco's man card away last week about reading the book. But
that was you.
Sorry about that, buddy.
The Princess Bride book.
I wasn't doing anything with it anyway.
Because now we're reading a book, and I'm supposed to, like, make deposits in her love tank. Some crap like that. I'm just trying to figure out what to do here.
Eric, I don't know how you can't get laid. I mean, just
I mean, I'm really turned on.
I know, right? I'm borderline to mess it just because of the love tank talk. I want him to make it a positive in my love tank.
Rewind. So, Eric, what is... So you're not having... You're trying to get back to, like, normal intimacy because you have a six-month-old. So, obviously, you know, she can't have sex for a while after she gives birth. And then...
And then she's exhausted for a few months after that.
Yeah. So now you're just getting to the point where you really want to start getting it back together. So you're reading a book that's basically saying that... I know what you're saying. You're giving her... Basically making deposits... saying, like, you know, thank you for this, I appreciate that, touching her, things like that, so then eventually she'll want to have sex, correct?
Right, like the love language type thing. And
yeah. So how long have you guys been doing that?
It's okay. We're a couple weeks into that book.
When you say book, are you literally reading a story with her? Like, is it a book club? Or are you talking about the love language book?
Not the love language book. It's a different book, but it's actually like a book that we're sitting and reading together.
But it is the concept of the book is intimacy within a relationship and so on and so forth. Yes, yes?
Yeah.
It's not a Jacqueline Steele novel or anything.
No idea who Jacqueline Steele is.
Thank you. You know what? Thank you, Eric.
Because I'm an old man.
Thank you, Eric. Because you did.
I knew who it was.
You just deposited into my man bank is what you did because I didn't know who the fuck that was either. Okay, now I'm with you. All right, so back to the...
So your question is what?
You know, it's like... Is there any shortcuts here?
You need the Jacqueline Steele Cliff Notes?
No, that's a really good question. Can I be totally honest with you?
I think I already know the answer.
No, there is a shortcut. There's a shortcut.
Oh, sweet. Not the answer I was looking
for. I know. He's like, oh, my God, she surprised me. I don't know if you'll like the answer, but it's going to see a therapist.
Oh,
so it sounds like somebody needs to call both of you out on your BS right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
He's like, oh, God, now I don't like her anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, if you committed to reading this book with her and trying a new process, then you committed to doing it.
I know. Here's the thing. I have a friend who I don't know they've actually started going to see a therapist as a couple, but I had a friend who... She was like, she wanted to go to couples therapy with her husband, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was very against it. And so through just being around me and me talking openly about my experiences, and I told him, like, here's what he thought going to see a therapist would be like if it's a couples therapist situation, is that he's going to pay somebody else a bunch of money to agree with his wife so he could be more of the asshole. That's what is basically...
That's actually a lot of men think that.
Right. I think
and
it's...
Can I tell you my favorite thing to do as a therapist?
What's that?
Is when the woman comes in, and they think that too. They'll come in, they're like dragging him in the room. And she's like, isn't that... She tells the whole story. She takes up like the whole session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she's like, isn't that crazy? I mean, can't you help me with this? And the guy's just sitting there like rolling his eyes and I'm just watching them, you know, and I'm like, uh-huh. My favorite thing in the whole world is to get that woman and look at her straight in the eye and say, no.
No, I cannot.
Actually, you're wrong. And the guy will immediately perk up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he loves being in therapy.
Yeah.
It's like the best decision he's ever made. So... If it's a good therapist, they will be very, very honest. And so the reason why I say that that's a shortcut for you, Eric, is because it sounds like both of you have things that you're not really being held accountable for. It sounds like she might not be putting out, for lack of a better word, but also you're not really taking it as seriously, and she probably senses that, which is probably why she's not putting out. But she did commit to kind of have sex more. So I think you just kind of need somebody to sit there and just be.
You need a referee.
A
referee. And that's what a therapist, I think, ends up doing. And just go with the fact that you might have to interview around and meet more than one.
Where do you live, Eric? What state?
Northern California.
Okay. Shoot me an email. Justin has my stuff, and I can definitely get you a few names.
Nice.
That's also where I am, too. So sweet. I can possibly see you guys in person. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much for calling, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
We're going to get you laid, my friend. And I better get you. If you get laid, Eric, awesome. After this episode, you better be paying $24 a year. You understand me?
Now you're
Eric, I don't hear an answer, that. Eric. If I'll call your wife and get you a blowjob in the next week if you get me $24.
I'll do that for $24. I'll get her to do it.
You're right. Thanks, Eric, for calling. You're the best.
Thank you, Eric.
What do you say?
All right, bye.
All right, bye. I have something coming up in the chat that I think is very interesting. Would love both an expert perspective and a male perspective on this issue. What is a great way for the woman in the relationship to communicate that she needs help around the house? I feel at times like a lot of the responsibility lies on my shoulders. I'm generally an independent person and quick about coordinating schedules, cleaning, making meals, etc. But as time goes on, I feel like the responsibility for so much is lying on my shoulders. I would love to one of these days just have things to be taken care of without me having to do it myself or even ask for it. Adding to this frustration is, to stereotype, a frustrating male tendency to A, tune me out, or B, see my request as nagging in my mind. I can't help but think I wouldn't sound like a nag if shit would just get done right there, right the first time. But I know that's not the most useful way to think. Help. Here's what I could say, and I don't. Here's the thing: I know that my opinion doesn't really matter, but I like to weigh in because my name's on the logo. And then I think I like the idea of Rachel coming in as the closer. That's why, just to clean the bases, just pow and hit it out of the park. But here's
I
what
like that.
Here's
Go
what
Giants, by the way,
right? Here's what I could tell you from the man who's also in your situation. Is that I found that the more screaming and yelling that I did about this, that it didn't really honestly help. And it didn't really get the point across because so much of it was done at a point when I was at my wit's end. But eventually, to be completely honest, my wife also went and saw a therapist. And not to say, like, you know, I didn't send her with a note to read to the therapist, but she actually brought it up with him about, you know, this was a concern for her because she knew it was a concern for me. And he kind of helped to make certain things make sense to her. And it made her more invested in the relationship, which now it's not an issue. But here, what is interesting that I'm dealing with now is that we have more of an even split. It's kind of a 50-50 situation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not working as hard as I once was. And so therefore I'm kind of doing, I try to pick up a little bit more so she has less to do on her day off. And it's kind of bothering her. And so we actually had to have a sit down where I explained to her, I said, listen, I love that you're invested. I said, but I guess what I wasn't understanding is that really what I needed was your investment. It wasn't just about checking items off of a his and hers chore list. I needed to know that you were equally invested in what's going on here. Because I was giving her a lot of the bullshit of like, I wish that I just had to go punch in at a job and then punch out and come home and not have to manage and worry and stress about the entire future of this entire family. I wish that was my life. And it's really hard for her to process and figure out something to do with it. But what I found out through her kind of, we kind of started doing that where she said, I said, what are some things around here that you can do just to make sure that there's something that you're also doing and we're both invested? Because I feel like it's a little more 70-30 than 60-40 as I would like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened her up a lot. And then now it's nice because it, and I know this sounds super cheesy, but it really, really is nice because now what happens if I don't have work to do and it's her day off and she has to clean the house, we do it together. And then we bang it out and then we get to go have lunch because it takes us half the time. And I try as like it kind of becomes a little nice thing I could do for her where I try to do the laundry the day before her day off so that she knows she doesn't have to do it when she gets home.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So my suggestion would be, and then Rachel will do the cleanup batting, but
we'll fix everything.
My suggestion, it kind of seems to be the common thread of what we're talking about here tonight, is just to not, it's not nagging. That's a thing that my wife is always worried about too, is that there's this unfortunate stereotype that if you're a wife and you ask for something that you're a nagging bitch. And I don't think a lot of guys actually think that. I think more often than not, I think it's in women's own head, their own head. And that's what they're thinking. Like she says here, And that if you just kind of say, listen, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. Is there some kind of system that we can work out to where, you know, you can do something around the house just to help me out a little bit? And just put that out there. Just, I mean, there's a very different vibe to that than of you saying, you got to do something around here when you have that snapping moment.
I'm going to, excuse me, sorry. I just want to jump in before we let the person who really knows what they're talking about speak up. And I was thinking back to last week with Dr. Tina Payne Bryson and and that whole idea of don't try to discipline when you're in the middle of a situation, but let everything come down a little bit so that the lines of communication are open again, people's defenses aren't up, and it falls into that same sort of category.
So at a time when it's not volatile and you're not carrying that stress, that's the time that you broach the subject.
They're not defensive.
And, like, for example, a solid point to yours is that my wife walks in the door frazzled and crying and going, yeah, that's great, but I'm running out of shorts. So, you know, like, she's not going to be highly receptive to that.
Right.
All right. And now, batting cleanup for the San Francisco Giants. Rachel, Gibbs.
You're so funny. You guys actually handled that one really well.
Nailed it. We'll talk to you later, Rachel. We got it from here. I've read the books.
I'll just play it whenever I have clients come in.
Yeah, there you go.
No, you guys nailed it on the head. Like, first of all, just so this woman knows, let's say you have stairs in your house and you put a laundry basket full of dirty clothes on the stairs. He literally does not see it. He'll walk around it.
Yep.
And you'll say, why didn't I left it right there for you? No, he literally didn't see it. It was an obstacle to go to wherever he was going.
Yep.
It is not intentional. It is not because he doesn't respect what you're doing around the house. It isn't because he doesn't care that you do the laundry. It is literally because when a man goes on a mission, even if that mission is to go upstairs to go take a dump, he does not see what is on the stairs. Mm. So a lot of times women will be like, it was right there. What do you mean? I don't understand. You don't pay attention. It's not that he's not paying attention. It's the different wiring between men and women's brains. So if you can just ask and, you know, hey, like you said, Justin, you know, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Can we figure out a better way to do this? That is totally different than I left this on the fucking stairs and you didn't see it. I do everything.
Yep.
So I would say just use those I statements that I talked about before. And again, the nagging thing, that's definitely more in women's heads than it is. Men just need to be told how it makes you feel and what to do. That's it.
And just a little food for thought that I think there's a slight chance that this guy could be like me in that I try to avoid things because I am hyper aware of those kinds of things. And that's a thing I've had to learn is that, when I come home from the road, I unintentionally was going, why is this here? What's going on with this? And what was coming across is, what the fuck have you been doing while I've been gone? And what I was really just trying to do is, it was more clinical in that I'm like, okay, what's the situation? Give me a sit rep.
You were getting trying to assess.
Yes, what am I jumping into?
And part of that was her delivering. She was projecting onto your statement, assuming that you didn't have an attitude when you said it or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's probably also very likely. There's a lot of attitudes in a lot of my statements.
Right.
We have another email here that says, I have a question for Rachel, sort of follow-up to her first Jane letter. I don't remember that, so I apologize to the listener. We have better communication. Oh, I think if I remember correctly, no, this isn't the same person. She said, we have better communication. Took the love language quz. Things have improved a lot.
Yay.
I understand his behaviors better and no longer feel guilty. Thank you. Here is my issue. My three kids and my husband are all physical touch dominant. For me, it's a three. It can be overwhelming at times. I have someone hanging on me pretty much all day, every day to get to the point where I start actually pull back when someone touches me. I'm finding it very difficult to show love to my husband in the physical way he needs. She put that in quotes. I think our love languages change over time. I believe physical touch will move back in my ranking, but right now it's hard. I don't want to recoil from my kids or husband. I would appreciate any advice.
So if I'm understanding that correctly, it sounds like she is literally touched by her children all day, like physically being hung on, so that touching more to fill his need feels very draining.
Yeah, I think from it would be easy for me to wrap my mind around the concept of that when – so, like you said, what she's really craving is not necessarily the avoidance of touch, but what she's probably craving is a moment to herself.
Yes, that's – yeah, exactly. It sounds like that it's not so much touching. It sounds like this – is this Jane? Is this the same Jane?
I believe so.
Okay,
oh, you're are you chatting some with someone? I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like you just need to take a fucking break.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's like 10 minutes just to like be in your own bubble, like pretend you're pooping and go in the bathroom.
Yeah. And it's a thing that's actually in some book, I can't remember, about how men have to have a man cave moment when they come home from work.
Mm-hmm.
And that they need to just kind of sit and decompress before you come in and bombard them with the day's events.
Here's the thing that's so funny about that. Is that Luna needs that.
Yeah. I think what it is when you just do anything, when you're making a transition. Natalie does not. If she does, she doesn't claim to need it. She doesn't react to not having it. She jumps in and is so happy to be around those kids. She just jumps right in and is all in it. Now, granted, they're not teenagers yet, so that could change very much. So I don't want to sound like I'm crapping on Luna, but I think it's just different wiring for different people, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember as a kid, my dad would come home from work and you would not want to talk to him for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And even though he was in the car for an hour commute, he needed that time to transition from work to home. And that's a very normal thing. But it sounds like, Jane, that you just really need some time by yourself. And once you explore that, then it sounds like maybe there might be something else going on. Maybe some resentment towards your husband. I'm just getting that sense. I'm obviously not sure, but I would love to talk with you more in detail if you want to call in or have a Skype session or whatever that is. But I'm really glad that things are headed in a better direction. And yes, love languages do change. They can change all the time, just like we change all the time.
Yeah, because I'm finding what started this whole love language, at least on this show, was that mine was off the charts acts of service. And so having this conversation now, what I've noticed that I crave more than anything now is I need my wife to just pat my back or to touch me. I crave cuddling with her on the couch more than anything that I've ever done in my entire life, to be honest.
Wow.
I find like I was really cranky and frustrated. I came home and I was watching the 49er game and they were kind of winning and it was fine, but there were other things that I had to do and I don't know. I just was snapping and like really angry and it was just weird. And then everything kind of mellowed out, but I was still like tense. Like the kids were asleep and we're sitting there and I just laid down and put my head on her lap and then she just kind of was rubbing the spot in between your shoulders. You know what I mean? The base of your neck.
Oh, it's the best.
And everything just melted. And I was like, oh my God. I go, I guess this is what I needed. And it sounds so stupid. Yeah. And I feel horrible, to be honest, that it's like, please take care of me. Constantly take care of me. I'm a grown ass fucking person. But
that's why we get married, Jess.
I agree. Yeah, you're right.
And that's why we have people.
It's true.
I mean, we can't just grown fucking man and want to be by yourself. Like that to me is more of a weakness than saying, hey, I really need to be touched right now. Can you rub my head?
I like the idea of having my head rubbed though. I do like that.
Like right? It's the best. That's how I go to sleep almost every night.
Just get behind the ears.
Yeah. I sometimes just take Luna's hand and put it on my head. And, you know, sort of rub it back and forth. Get her started. Jump start it.
Just to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Now, I want to see you guys do that. That'd be
with each other or?
Yeah.
Oh, now this show is taking a turn.
No, that's like the new logo for the podcast is just rubbing each other's heads.
Me just petting Paco and him rubbing the base of my neck.
Yes.
It's some kind of weird self-medication that we do in my backyard once a week.
To fill up your love tank.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. We have another email from a listener. It's called Getting My Husband to Groom. My husband has nose hairs that bother me whenever he kisses me. To be very clear, I'm not talking about some long hairs dangling from the nose, from the inside of his nose, like you see on an infomercial ad. No, these nose hairs grow on the outside tip of his nose, the part of a dog or cat's nose that would be wet. Sometimes I can bribe him into letting me pluck a few of these, but that literally makes him tear up. Wimpy man, how dare you? That is a nose is a sensitive. Why don't you? I'll tell you what. You can pluck his nose hairs while he thumps you in the nipple. Let's see how well that goes.
Now, wait a minute.
The nose is even more sensitive.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I had my nose pierced a long time ago. And that shit, oh, man.
Yeah, I bet.
It is the worst. Have you ever had a pimple on your nose?
Oh, it's horrible. Well, I'm the guy who kind of will pluck my own nose hairs or whatever. Like,
trust me.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. I haven't done it in front of you. How dare you?
I don't know.
He refuses electrolysis and just got does not keep up with shaving his nose, and then it's stubbly. My husband jokes and says that some women are into that, but I put an ad in a paper trying to find someone who was into nose hair of any kind and any of any gender, and no one responded.
Well, that is literally the worst thing I've ever heard.
She said, well, one guy did text me, but he seemed more hopeful that I was into his long nose hairs and wanted to know if I would braid them.
This sounds like a Samson and Delilah type scenario.
Yeah, I know.
He's got all his power is in these nose hairs, and she's trying.
Honestly, I didn't think this email was real. Like, I read it 5 times.
These nose...
I was like, no, this isn't real.
These nose hairs really freak me out, and believe me, there are plenty of other things I should probably be getting freaked out about. Do you think it would be safe to nair his nose? Would it stain or bleach my sheets? He has gotten better about clipping his toenails since I started wearing thick socks to bed so his feet won't scratch me. For some reason, he's freaked out by me wearing socks to bed and or during sex. That's interesting, too.
I don't even know.
Maybe it's just because, here's the thing. There was a time when I remember my lovely bride would wear a sock or two, and I would be like, get that. I want all of you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's because I've been married together long enough, but that seems kind of a thing. Like, I would be like, all right. It's almost sad how that would be a change-up, but but it seems risky business-esque. She says, P.S., I was not going to send this, but I have been sick with a fever and crap on and off over a week, and I spent all day literally 12 hours helping everyone with homework or something. The kids are finally asleep, and we each had a beer, and I just wanted to watch my Netflix show, but I think he is messing with it somehow because he wants me to come to bed. He is some sort of magic IT wizard and seriously could do crap like that and sometimes does for his own amusement. Is it so wrong that I just want to watch TV? I am so not always awesome. Can't that be okay enough? I do freaking amazing, awesome shit all the time for other people, but I just want to do boring stuff for myself. So I am sending this now without even proofreading it. I just totally get pissed off when I make an edit and it comes completely ignored in the next draft. Why the hell even ask me to edit when you... now she's angry at word processors, I think.
I don't know. Or is this computer. The same nose hair?
Yes,
yeah. Do you see why I thought it was fake?
Yeah, no. Here's what it is. I think that it's at the end of a long day. She's had a beer and maybe nothing to eat. I don't know. Maybe a beer where she's from is multiple beers.
Yeah, like 20 beers.
I do recognize the name, and she is a funny poster that has commented on Facebook and stuff before and sent in very amusing emails. So
okay, so she's real.
She is a real person, yes.
Okay. I would really love to talk to her. Like, complimentary session. Just because I'm so intrigued. I don't even know. Justin, have you ever heard me be speechless, ever?
Nope, not yet.
Yeah, this one, I mean, first of all, I'm not a medical doctor, so I have no idea if Nair is going to bleach your sheets or hurt your nose.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So definitely check with a medical professional on that one.
Or you could call an 800 number for Nair, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's like the number on the back.
Less of a copay involved in that, I would imagine.
No insurance required.
But
I mean, first of all, it sounds like they're so passive aggressive to each other. Like, he's messing with my iTunes and I put an ad out in the paper.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like an episode of I Love Lucy, but like in today's world. with technology.
I could be wrong, but I think this is the same lady whose husband, this guy is just batting 1,000 with her. He, I don't know if you remember, Rachel, it was one of our first emails that he liked to fart up the room.
And oh, it's the same one?
I think so. I could be wrong. If you're listening and I'm wrong, I apologize, madam. But
no, if it is, I remember that because I said that he was being passive aggressive.
Right. That's why I was, that's the reason I brought it up, because I want to say it's the same, but I could be very, very wrong. And unfortunately, I don't think I keep the emails that long. But while we're chatting, I could try and go back and check. But anyway, it is an interesting thing, because let's take nose hair out of it, because that's something
that's
right, oddly specific. But I think that there are moments, unfortunately, where there's something about our partner that we find physically unattractive.
Yes.
Of course.
Like, we'll make it about me, because that's safer. Like, I've got wings on the back of little hair. You know what I mean? Like, I get a little back hair situation.
All right.
And I've recently decided that I don't like it. So I got one of those little shaver things.
Yeah.
And I take it off. And I don't think my wife even cares or even noticed that it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. It's again, like what we were talking about earlier. My wife and I would define having a very open and close relationship, talking about everything. But here's a concept of something that, if in all intents and purposes, I that's a joke between me and Adam, is that I am doing it for her, essentially. I mean, yes, it's privately for myself. I imagine it's for a guy, it's like wearing sexy underwear. You know what I mean? Like, nobody really sees my lack of back hair and appreciates the work I put into it. But it makes
me... sure she doesn't like to run her fingers through your back hair?
As far as I know, no. Okay. But it makes me walk a little more upright and less Neanderthalish, ironically enough.
Right.
So, I mean, if we take the idea, because that's what I think, is that the idea of it being hairs on the tip of a person's nose... And I don't know, if it's just like one or two whiskers, I feel like that would be manageable. But it almost sounds like she's saying he has a little bit of a coat.
Well,
I don't even know.
A
coat? I can't.
You know what I mean? Like I want to know what the SPF of his nose is.
No, what I'm picturing is not soft, lovely, but like hard whiskers.
Yeah.
You would find on the nose of a witch.
Well, if it is really coarse, I suggest you break a raw egg into his food and let him eat it, and then that'll soften up his coat, give it a little sheer to it.
There you go.
I understand that's very effective.
Can I just tell you guys, I've heard some really, really crazy things in my therapy practice, and I've never not known what to say, and this has completely thrown me off guard. I legitimately don't know.
In this situation, if these two people are sitting in your office, do you just hand them the check back? Like, what goes?
I do validate for parking.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
I hope you parked at the Safeway, not the meter. If they were in front of me, I would probably go the passive aggressive route. Because clearly that's
you'd
what
fart
happened.
Up the room.
No one knows that they're poking their significant other with sharp ass hairs on their nose.
Oh.
And is okay with that, unless they're trying to get a reaction out of that person.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, he's got to be trying to get a reaction out of her if he knows that she hates it so much.
Well, I have a question about that, too. That was another thing about this for me, is that I have my brother and my sister-in-law are very much a relationship where they nitpick at each other. Like they tease each other, and that is a sign of affection. Now, to me, I look at them and I know that they love each other, and I know he loves her like crazy. And my mom was the one who kind of pointed out, it's that, you know, because everybody's like, oh, they're always picking on each other and everything. And it's like, yeah, but if you think about it, he can't keep his hands off of her. He's always like he's pinching her in the butt and stuff like that. But that's him, you know, being the first paragraph of that other guy's email, you know, where that's where he begins and she ends or whatever. You know,
at her end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a sense, that's his love language. That's kind of how and while it seems very aggressive and abrasive from the outside looking in, I imagine that these two people found each other because that's what also makes sense to them. That I imagine that if you put my sister-in-law with some guy who's stroking her hair and like telling her how much he loves to watch the moonbeams bounce off her eyes, that she'd be like, get the fuck out of my face.
So you know? I agree with you, but at the same time, your sister's not writing into a podcast.
Fair enough. A solid point. Solid point.
I feel like this lady is not exactly stoked on the fact that she has a dog nose husband.
and what and so kind of what you're saying, like you said before, is that the solution to that is not more passive aggression, right? It's not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, by putting out the ad in the paper, like, granted, that's really funny, and like in a story, that's like a great comedy bit,
right?
Right, where like at the end, you're like, did that really happen? Oh my god, did he really do that? That, but like in real life, I mean, could you imagine if you were? I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so
like to take, first of all, who takes newspaper ads out anymore? Like, is there a newspaper anymore? Yeah, I don't even. Like, yeah,
there's
do
a part
they print
of me that,
a paper.
There's a part of me that thinks that maybe that. I hope not. As an audience member in this comedy show, I hope that it is all true. But I find that very hard to believe that somebody else answered. I feel like what her joke is that there was a chance it might have been her husband answering. Like what is that?
Exactly.
If you like Pina Colada song or something like that. Is
exactly. Yeah. This is a passive-aggressive pattern. One of them's really angry at the other one for something, but we're not getting enough information to figure out what that is. So I encourage that person to write back in or give
me
a
right.
call,
because yeah.
I'm very interested.
I would say write back in. I think the easiest answer is to find a couples therapist and broach the subject with them, right? In all seriousness.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, you know, just kind of the always, as much as it may be bad, but the best way to go is to find a nice soft way of landing the blow and saying, you know, it just tickles me when you kiss me, or it kind of makes me feel weird, and do that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And then if he's like, I know, then you have your answer.
Then you got to really call a couple therapists.
And yeah, somebody just commented Craigslist would have some wacko that likes nose hair.
Right.
That's definitely true. But the fact that she said a newspaper ad leads me to believe that it is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's, yeah, she's working out her tight five from the comedy boom in the early 90s.
I mean that
complimentary. I'm not trying to shit on this lady, but, all right.
But
well,
please write back in. We love
yes,
you.
Please do. I think I rattled off. I'm double checking. Yes, I got all of the emails that we got in. Is there anything? I know you've been paying attention to the chat, Miss Rachel, because you're a professional. Is there anything that has popped up there that you wanted to broach before we let you go back to the amazingly gorgeous Kyle?
No, not. I'm sure Kyle likes that. I think we hit everything. I wanted to thank you for having me again, and I missed being here, and I hope that we can make it more regular now that I'm stabilized in Northern California.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too. I'm working on, here's, I can tell you this, we're shutting down. So by the time the listeners are hearing this, I'm in the throes of rebuilding this studio.
I hate you.
And So we're going to take a couple weeks off of recording regularly, but we could definitely do this again. And if anything, here's what you could do too, Miss Rachel. If anything comes up in your experience or anything like that that you want to jump on the show, just shoot me a text, and we can easily make that happen. But I know that you do, like, performances. Are there any shows for anybody who's listening in the Bay Area that you could plug for people to come and see? This is coming out in, like, middle of October or in a couple weeks, so towards the end of October.
Yeah, I'm actually in a show in January. It's nice. Called Broadway Song and Dance. It's at the Marine Memorial Theater in San Francisco.
That's so cool.
Right? Yeah. And I
beautiful
just
voice.
Had...
What? I saw a video online. She has a beautiful voice. Oh, amazing singing voice. Amazing.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. It's true. I didn't
know. Well, very nice.
Calm down, Kyle. Also, it's true. I saw the video. Calm down, Kyle. I just like saying it.
I have a new office, so I am accepting new clients now for Skype and in person. So I'm in the Castro neighborhood of San Francisco. It's right by Muni Station, so I have people coming in to see me from kind of all over the Bay Area, which is really cool. Yeah.
And so I know that we have another listener that reached out to you, a couple at least have reached out to you about doing like Skype sessions as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's
and
such
I'm
a neat idea.
Basically licensed to do that now.
And the website for that is therapistrachel.com. Is that correct?
So the website is rachelgibbstherapy.com.
Okay.
So GIBBS therapy.com. And the Twitter is @therapistrachel.
And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you'll see it in the description as well. So that you have all the spelling. Oh, wait. Adam has a question.
Paco,
sorry.
No, not so much a question. I just wanted to say I missed my chance to jump in before when we were talking about her coming back again. I just had found this very interesting. There's a because of the chat room, because of the emails, the chance to take calls, it's just a very lively forum. And so it's a terrific way to have Rachel come in and participate because there's so much back and forth. I just enjoyed that a lot. I'd never worked with her before. And
she's a delight, right? She's
absolute delight.
Absolute
she's
delight.
Got the mouth of a sailor, which I love.
Right?
Just cursing.
Thanks,
and she said the word dump.
My clients will come in and they'll, after like the first session, you know, I'm like, so how are you feeling? And all of them are like, so you're not like what I therapist was. You thought.
Oh, you cut like, out. You yep, cut out on us.
So
you're
cutting out on us. Don't come to me but... if you don't like the word fuck, because
yes.
It'll be said.
You cut out a little bit, but I think what you said is that you're not like what I thought a therapist was. Is that correct?
Yeah, the a lot of my clients will say, you're not exactly what I thought a therapist was. In this, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who says therapists can't curse? I don't understand.
And that's what I think is so – and it's so funny to me because there is – we've talked about this every time you've been on the show, and is that there is such a weird thing that comes around – like a social stigma about therapy that is so unbelievably unfortunate in my opinion that mm-hmm. there is this weird stigma that you know, that there's a certain way that it's done and that – but – What I think is great and why I think everybody listening should reach out to Rachel. And it's the reason I bring this up is because we had a listener who was going through a situation with her husband and didn't know what to do. But because she'd heard her on the – she tried a therapist that was local.
Yeah.
That therapist did not help. It was not mm-hmm. a good mesh for her. And so
right.
they reached out to me and said, you know, do you think I could just contact Rachel directly because of listening to her on the show? I feel like I know her. I feel like I know where she's coming from and would appreciate right. her input on this situation. And I strongly encourage anybody, especially I think it was Eric, if I remember correctly. Is that
yeah, it was Eric.
Yeah, why not pitch a Skype session to the lady? Right. And then it's not just for entertainment value. It's actually for real.
Yeah, and then we can do real therapy. And I'm exactly the same, trust me.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Rachel, I can promise you that Luna and I will be calling you shortly.
Oh, boy. Wow.
It was so nice to finally meet you, Paco.
And you.
All right, Miss Rachel, we'll take care. And we will chat again soon. I love you as always. Be the best and give big old Kyle a big old squeeze from us.
Will do. Love you guys too. And thanks for everybody who called in and wrote. It's fun.
We will do it again. Take care, Chica.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, good times as always with Rachel Gibbs. We are going to wrap things up with our usual moment of the week and Ooh. Go from there.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
I don't know why that made me chuckle right there, and I recorded it like an asshole.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh! Had a cool thing happen. Speaking of which, the Mr. Routon posted on Facebook. He received his Dad Gear bag.
Oh, cool!
So I encourage all the other listeners to do the same. Once you get your Dad Gear bag, give us a note on Facebook. Let us know or send a message in here.
A picture of you wearing it.
Right? He saw it fresh out of the bag. I believe by the looks of it, he got the messenger bag. So,
oh, cool.
Looks very sweet. So thank you to Josh for doing that. And my moment of the week, was with Mr. Jacob. I might have slipped on Jack. I might have dropped the ball with him. But Jacob was, I can't even remember the context of the conversation. But what he said was, and I think I made a note in here. Let me see if I can see it. He said, "Hunormous." That's what he said. He goes, "Dad, it was hunormous." And I told him, I go, "Jacob, hunormous? Is that what you're saying? Hunormous?" And he goes, "Yes, it's hunormous." And I said, "I think you mean huge or enormous." I go, "Hunormous isn't a word." And he looks at me very disappointed and says, "That's the joke, Dad."
Oh, wow. Awesome. Awesome.
I started laughing hysterically. So I got a giggle out of that. And since I don't have one off the top of my head for Mr. Jack, then, oh, no, I do have one for Jack. My wife was doing a craft with him yesterday, as
yes.
she is known to do on a day off or two. She likes to yeah. color with them, and they'll go gather leaves and glue them to a piece of paper that then I have to buy a $50 frame and mount to my fucking wall. But they were doing their usual craft, and then she tried to take a picture of them. And it's just so funny to me how she's so filled with love and caring, and yet yes. nothing is easy. But it was very cute that Jack was so excited about his picture. She's trying to get him to, she goes, okay, smile for the picture. And then, so he smiles and then immediately covers his mouth with the picture, like not knowing, just like, hey, right, show the right. picture. Like she goes, okay, put the picture down. He's like, oh, put the picture down. Now he's focused on keep the picture down.
Right.
Like I imagine that, what is it? The Ron Burgundy bit where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And they keep folding, like floating into the frame. So he's just focused on his hands. She's like, okay, now smile. And then he smiles again, but then he can't sit still. Like he's bouncing around. So she's like, no, right. you have to sit still. And so she does all this thing, and she's doing this. She's already taken three pictures, and it was funny because she goes, okay, now smile. And she had, like, glanced down and hit the button, and it flashed on the camera. I had seen him unknowing, like, he crossed his eyes. Like, he looked over here and, like, did right, a Columbo right. face. And so she's like, oh, finally. And it would, and I didn't say anything because I thought it would yeah. be so great if that was the picture. And then Jacob comes over and says, let me see it. And then she goes to look at it, and she, damn it, Jack, she yells at him. She goes, go back, everybody back. And then he takes it, and she finally got it. But it was just adorable watching him be very excited and all very innocent, but completely fucking with his mom's nut. That made me giggle. All right, your turn, Mr. Lancini.
Excellent. Well, I don't have two of them in my hip pocket, but I did have just a tiny little moment. And as usual, I'm sort of... It's not exactly the same kind of moment of the week that you're always looking for. But I was early morning, weekday, school day. I was in my bedroom, and the door was three quarters open. And then there's beyond my bedroom door is a, excuse me, a hallway of about 20 feet or so that opens into the living room. And... Diego was up, and he sort of does his own routine in the morning. He's very regimented about it. I mean, he's sometimes slow, but he doesn't need to be gotten up or anything. He takes care of all of it himself. And so he was in the living room, and he was eating a bowl of cereal on the couch, sitting on the couch, his phone, his new phone in one hand, mm-hmm. and the cereal in the, in the other. And he was just eating it. So I was a good 35 or 40 feet away from him. And I was in the dark. And it was just – and he had the lights on in the living room. And it was just this kind of almost like a voyeuristic moment that he was completely unaware that he was being watched. And it wasn't even that he was doing anything weird. He was just living his little teenager life and yeah. eating a bowl of cereal with his ever-present phone. And – I just had this really tremendous, like, swell in my chest. It was just – I was just very charmed by him and by the whole thing. And then that was quickly followed by – well, you got to understand that that I did the renovation. I mean, I didn't do it by hand, but it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't – didn't have to just – there was so much mental work, and you got to understand working with Luna and everything else. So you can imagine what it's like with a grilled cheese sandwich, and then it's an entire house. You know, house. So, so I'm at a loss for words, a rare loss for words. I had this feeling of I made that, meaning both the hallway and the view that I was seeing and the person
human.
That I was seeing yeah. in it, and just sort of really connected with the profundity, the profoundness. I don't know if profundity is the right word. And I'm sure nobody else does.
This is what I love about you is that yeah. You never say, I don't know if it is a word. You said that like every normal person, you said, I don't know if that's the right word. Like,
right.
I know that I'm using it in the correct way, but I don't know if it's the perfect word for this. Is that right?
Am that's
I right?
sort of it. Yes.
You son yes. of a bitch.
I know. So it was just sort of, I was very, very moved. It was a moving moment.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll stop
love
talking
it.
Now.
I love that. Why? Don't you know? It's, It's beautiful. Here's the thing. I was going to validate that because flummoxed, but then I realized that that's me coming back around and ending with my another, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I was going to say that I have that similar kind of thing whenever I drop Jacob off at kindergarten. I see him walking with this oversized backpack, and you get, it's nice to have those moments, and I can only imagine how refreshing it is for those moments to happen when they're teenagers. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I don't know. I never will claim to know until I'm there, but one could only imagine, my friends.
Yeah.
So, profundity, what is it? Give us the definition.
It is the there's one A and B and then two. So 1A is intellectual depth, 1B is something profound or abstruse, and 2 is the quality or state of being profound or deep.
So what is abstruse?
Abstruse? I don't know. I've already closed it.
Okay. That would be my – I love it when a definition also requires another trip to the dictionary. I feel like that's a failed definition.
And you know what's funny? Abstruse was not a – oh, yeah, it was a hard to understand. That's hilarious. We had to look up the word abstruse, and it meant hard to understand. That is awesome.
Well, there's that button.
Yeah, that's
Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. If you have more questions, we're recording, but you will have already heard this. I'm sorry. Or it's already recorded by the time you're hearing this, but we're going to be having an episode with Dr. J coming up next week, I imagine, unless something goes wrong between now and then. Like the East Coast falls into the Atlantic Ocean is what I'm talking about. But
and if you feel bad that you missed it and you did miss it live, you should get yourself on the Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you'll see the notices when the live shows are going on.
Or you can even go to mixlr.com/dadpodcast and you can follow us. And then you get an alert when we go live.
That is
or when I
awesome.
Schedule a broadcast.
I'm
going to
join
email.
That so that I because I was afraid you would record one without me.
Oh, geez, please don't. It was funny because somebody even commented, I keep forgetting to say this, but they have a free app on this MixLR, the thing we use to stream the show live.
Yeah.
So Drew was listening on his phone the whole way home and then got to listen when he got home, too. He's like, I love technology. So thank you for being so kind. And if you do listen live, please also remember to download the episode because that's how we get paid. So don't stop downloading the episode, please.
How many were there today?
How many what?
Listeners.
Oh, I did listeners. Not check. I know that we hit double digits.
That's awesome.
It's ever increasing.
That's awesome.
So you can, that's facebook.com/dadpodcast, @dadpodcast on Twitter, @JustinWorsham is me, @TheRealPacoL is Paco. Antonio says there were 12 people is what he just told me.
Thank you.
If you want to play some video games with us, that could be Destiny, that could be Call of Duty. Once I'm done with this studio construction, I'm going to pick a weekend and we're all going to get online and we're going to play some games together. I'm looking forward
to that.
I'll
do it.
If you want to join a Madden Football League, my gamer tag is Justin Comedy. Adam is, of course, Call of Dooley with dashes in between the words. You could see that in the description below if you need the spelling. Don't forget, you could go support the show by going to thedadpodcast.com for just $24 a year via PayPal.
Do it.
Or you can click on the Patreon logo right before that and do it via Patreon if you hate PayPal.
Do it.
You can also go to the very bottom of the page. I think I'm stealing Paco's thunder. Click on the Amazon banner and then whatever you click through, if you bookmark it after you click through, make that your Amazon link. Whenever you go to Amazon, we get a little taste. It does not cost you anything extra. It is just there to give us a little bit extra money, and
it's
we appreciate
like
it.
Magic.
If you love my podcast, you could also hear Justin is Married, Booker is Single, available on iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Had a new episode, going to be recording another one later, so you will have heard two, I think, this month in October.
Ooh.
Possibly more. Chris is very upset with me for what I'm doing to the studio. He thinks I'm an asshole and an idiot. So
really?
If you want to hear somebody call me an asshole and an idiot, then tune into that show.
Sign me up!
On behalf of my good friend Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, and the amazingly wonderful and smart and beautiful Rachel Gibbs.
And foul-mouthed
sailor-esque woman Rachel Gibbs. This is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.